So I will be speaking today, not in Dutch, but in English. I will do my best not to wrestle too much with the English words. So we sang the song Trust and Obey. And it is not always easy to trust God when you are dealing with difficulties in life, with challenges, with uncertainties. And of course, if we want to trust God, we need to know who God is and what He can do. And we need to trust Him in such an extent that when He says something to us, that we need to believe it. And that we need to think upon, God, what do you mean with these words? Now, before we go into the thought of the lesson about the Apostle Peter, I want to share some thoughts about where it sometimes goes wrong, why we don't trust God enough. Go to Proverbs chapter 14, sorry. And I need to check in the English if this is the same. Spreuken hoofdstuk 14, verse 12. Because these verses sometimes are different, the numbers. Yes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, where it says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. So sometimes we think, we feel, we consider to be on the right track in life, in a right relationship with God, and here it says, it could be that the end of that road is death, is not alive with God. That teaches us that whenever we try to understand who God is, we can never go into our own hearts to find out who God is and what He wants for us. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians hoofdstuk 2, there we read something similar. In chapter 2, verse 10, where the inspired apostle Paul says, verse 10, in Corinthians 2, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. What this teaches us is that God has used His Spirit, the Spirit who searches even the depths of God, a place where we as human beings can never go. And the Spirit has revealed God's thoughts and God's words to us. And this is the book that we have in front of us. This is the thought and the will of God. So whenever we consider about our relationship with God, who God is, how I can become His child, how I should live in this life, where do I find the answer? In my heart? In my feelings? Or in this book? Well, the answer is in this book. So, but even sometimes we hear the word of God being preached to us, and yet we do not always understand what God means. And the Apostle Peter is a perfect example of that. Now we are now still in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians hoofdstuk 10, verse 12. Heel bekend vers. Very well-known verse. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Sometimes we live a life where we think everything is okay. Everything is perfect. Even my relationship with God is perfect. Why would this warning be given? Why would God want children of Him to take heed? The person who thinks that he stands, the person who thinks that he is very strong, the person who thinks that he is untouchable, his life is perfect as it is. Why does God instruct such a person, take heed lest he falls? Well, Sprüche 16, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride comes before the fall. So dan hier naartoe gaan. Sprüche 16, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Sometimes when you talk with people who say they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they teach a doctrine that you can never lose your salvation, that it doesn't matter how you live your life. But Peter, at the end of his life, when he was a mature adult Christian, he apparently thought differently. He apparently, of course, the words that he spoke were inspired by the Spirit, but he taught something differently. Look in verse 20 from chapter 2 from 2 Peter, where it says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For, verse 21, 21, it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." What the true proverb says, verse 22, has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. This does not happen in an instant. The person who is described here, who has believed the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then is entangled back in sin, and is overcome by sin, that doesn't happen overnight. This is a process that happens gradually. And I want to go to the life of Peter when he was a young disciple of Christ to see how it is possible for a human being to be entangled in sin. Let us go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we will switch a little bit between Mark, Marcus also 14, Mark 14, and the first and the second letter of Peter. So maybe if you want to bookmark one of those places, that makes it easier to follow. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. "And Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even though they all fall away,'" what does he say? "I will not. And Jesus said to him," verse 30, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. Here is Peter. And Jesus warns him. And he says, not only to him, but to all the disciples, "You will be scattered. There will be difficult times ahead in the near future, and you will all fall away. You will be so weak that you will fail. And Peter says, yeah, those, I know their fate. But me, my fate, never, ever, ever will this happen. Jesus repeats that it will happen, and with a lot of heartfelt love for Jesus, I really believe that, he was convinced, if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will not deny you. We know what happened. So we must now think about what happened, why he did fail in this. Because it is not that he had to fail, but he did fail. And the first point is, Peter was pride. Peter's pride was the first step that led him to fail. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthäus hoofdstuk 18. We zullen lezen van 1 tot 6. And this is a very, very important lesson that we need to learn if we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened round his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Last week we talked about the Sermon on the Mount, the blessings, the most happy people in this world, who they are, what kind of character they have, and we talked about meekness. And meekness is a quality where a person completely trusts God, that whatever God will bring in his or her life, it's good. God knows what he is doing. Even if things are so completely opposite that we think this is not good, this is completely going wrong, I trust God. God, thank you for this life. It takes a humble attitude to come to this point. A prideful attitude will say, I know better. I'm going to do it my way. I think differently than what God says, than what God is trying to warn me for. Like Peter, when he was young in his faith. Now look what he says when he became older in his faith, when he had some experience in his life with God. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. And keep your finger in Mark chapter 14. 1 Peter 5. Verse 5 and 6. Likewise, vers 5, 1 Petrus hoofdstuk 5, vers 5 en 6. Likewise, you who are younger. Why do you think Peter is speaking about those who were younger? Was he once young in the faith? Did he learn some lessons? Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with what? With what should they clothe themselves? With humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So this is the first point where Peter failed that led him to eventually deny Jesus in that very night that Jesus warned him. Proud, a prideful heart. The second point is laziness. Let us go back to Mark chapter 14, verse 32. Marcus, hoofdstuk 14, vers 32. And they went to a place, just when Jesus warned them, you will all deny me. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 36 says in 30, and he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." What did I say what meekness was? Well, this is what meekness is. Completely trusting in the will of God, even if that means you have to suffer. This is what Jesus did. Verse 37, and he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour?" Very important, verse 38. Listen very carefully. Vers 38. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 39, 39. "And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him." 41, 41. "And he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinner. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Why did Jesus ask Peter to watch and pray? Verse 38 says, that you may not enter into what? Into temptation. What temptation? That he was about to deny his Lord. But Peter was lazy. He was lazy at a moment that God told him, be very watchful. Be very prayerful. Spend your life in prayer. What did I say previous lessons? If you start praying when the trouble is there, you're already in trouble. Prayer is something that should be constant in our lives. We should be praying in order to prepare ourselves for the temptations that will come in our lives. And you can be sure, if you want to live a godly life, you will have temptations. If you don't have temptations, you are not living a godly life. And Peter was lazy. He was not prepared. He was tired. He was exhausted. His Lord just said, "You will deny me." Did he forget it? I don't know. But he was not thinking about what he should be thinking about. He was not listening to what Jesus was telling him that he should be doing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, where we were before. Verse 8 and 9. "Be sober-minded." 1 Petrus hoofdstuk 5, vers 8 en 9. Be sober-minded. Be what? Be watchful. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Be watchful. Be prayerful. Don't be lazy. Peter was lazy, and that was a second mistake that he made that night. Then Jesus is arrested, if we go back to Mark chapter 14. And in verse 53, we see what happened. Verse 53 and verse 54. Marcus hoofdstuk 14, vers 53 en 54. "And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the priest, the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. The third mistake Peter made was that he was a coward. That he lacked faith, he lacked conviction. And what did he do? The one who just said, maybe an hour before, "I will die with you, Jesus." Where was he when Jesus was arrested? It says in verse 54, "And Peter had followed him at a distance." He wanted to be in a safe place. He wanted not to be in the place where Jesus was, being arrested, being mistreated, being scorned. He wanted to be in a safe place. He was a coward. And so we see in Mark chapter 8, if we go there, Marcus hoofdstuk 8 vers 38, Mark chapter 8 verse 38, that Jesus has something to say about cowardness, shamefulness of him and of his words. Because it says in verse 38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The third mistake that Peter made was that he let shame and cowardness come into his heart instead of faith and boldness. Now listen to the advice, what he says at the end of his life when he matured as a disciple of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 16 and 17. 1 Petrus hoofdstuk 4, verse 16 and 17. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Do you think that when Peter says, "Do not be ashamed," that he knew what he was talking about? That he had to think back, "There was a point in time when I was ashamed. I claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I claim to be prepared to even die with him. And yet when the difficulties came, where was Peter? At a distance. Not where he should be." How is it with us if we say that we love God, that we are followers of Jesus? Do we have shame for his words? Now, if we are among people with the same goal, this is very easy. There is no conflict here. But if you go outside this door and you have people who are really opposed to Jesus Christ and his gospel, what will enter your heart? Boldness and faith or shame? The fourth point is, Peter failed because he wanted to be among worldly people. What did we read in Mark chapter 14? After he followed Jesus from a distance, in verse 54, Marcus hoofdstuk 14, verse 54, where was Peter at? It says, "And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire." He could have been with Jesus, but he decided it was far more comfortable to be with the world, with worldly people, and not with those who were suffering because of the cause of Christ. Now, we must realize 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. These are well-known verses. It is a well-known verse. In Corinthians 15, verse 33. Bad company corrupts good morals. And we should never forget that. That if we decide that it is more fun for us to be among people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, then we know what the outcome will be. Who will change who? Sometimes we have a very good intention that we say, "I'm going to change the world. I'm going to convince everybody to become a disciple of Christ. And yet, slowly and slowly and slowly, it is not us changing them, it is they changing us. Bad company corrupts good morals. So we need to understand that we cannot be of the world and of Christ. It is either of the world and not of Christ, or of Christ and not of the world. Look what Peter says at the end of his life, when he had matured, what he advises and what he teaches the Christians in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. I urge you, he says. If you are a disciple of Christ, you are a stranger in this world. So do not live as if you are one of this world. You believe that Jesus will come back one day and that he will hold everybody accountable for what they have done in their lives. And so if you were one of them and acted like one of them and were among them, as if there was no difference, then you will be judged according to one of them. And Peter says, you need to live as a stranger in this world. And you need to abstain yourself from the passions of the flesh. Because if we want to be where the fun is, then we need to be in the world. If we want to be where the holiness is, where the righteousness is, when the good moral conduct is, then we need to be among godly people. And we need to be a godly people. For Peter also says in his letter, be holy, God says, for I am holy. The Christian's duty is to become holy, not to become worldly, or to become worldly again. The last point, if we go to Mark chapter 14, verse 66, Marcus hoofdstuk 14, verse 66. And as Peter, 66, and as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, he looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the cock crowed. And the servant girl, 69, saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. 71. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the cock crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And look what happened. He broke down and he wept. Peter ended up denying Jesus Christ. He listened to what Jesus told him. Jesus said, you will all fall away. But Peter was so proud that he said, I will never. They, yes, but I, no. And Peter, he was lazy when Jesus told him, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Peter didn't listen. When Jesus was arrested and was brought to the high priest, Peter was ashamed of him, and he stood afar. And when Jesus was suffering, he was not prepared to go into the place of suffering. He wanted to be comfortable at the fire, where there was no suffering, no adversity. Look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Matthäus hoofdstuk 10, vers 32 en 33. Now we're almost through. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 33. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. In the second letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 20, we saw that some will fall away and will go back to sin. And will be overcome by sin. You know how that happened? Well, look at the example of Peter. This is how this happened. It's not overnight. It's something that happens gradually. Because we are not watchful, that we are not prayerful, that we are ashamed, that we want to be too worldly. And that's not good. And this is what we should learn. Look in Luke chapter 22. Lucas hoofdstuk 22, vers 60 tot 62. Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. What do you think that Peter felt when he denied Jesus? Jesus turned around and Jesus looked him into the eyes. That was the shame that he should have had. If he knew this before, he would have not come to the point of denial. And Peter really learned his lesson that day. And so sometimes we also need to learn this lesson, that we need to weep bitterly, that we need to look Jesus in the eye through his word, and to see him who he truly is, and where we have not paid careful attention to what he really said to us, where we were not prayerfully meditating upon his words, And being spiritual minded and being among spiritual people, forgetting who we are and what we are doing in this world. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 3, what Peter says. 1 Petrus hoofdstuk 3, vers 13. Verse 13 until 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. 16. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Because we can suffer also for doing evil. And the last scripture is 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Petrus hoofdstuk 3, vers 17 and 18, verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let this be my encouragement to you, to all of you, to from now on, if you have failed, if you have found yourself in a position that Peter has been in, I know I have been, that you are really watchful and prayerful, that you will consider Jesus, that you will build up your relationship with him, not just when you are in trouble, but always, and that you are honest, that you are fervent in how you live your life with him, that you are not carried away with error of lawless people, that you will not lose your own stability. If that is not possible, then that should not be said. Because it is possible that you lose your stability, the warning is given. Be careful. You should grow instead in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll sing a couple more songs and we'll close with a prayer. We're going to now read in the Dutch section. And we will start with song number 31 from Dutch.